Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, on a beautiful but windy but sunny day in St. Louis on a Wednesday. Sue Thomas, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
You have the parka on here in the studio because even though it might be outside, relatively comfortable. You go in here and it's at least 38 degrees typically.
Yeah, that's about right.
The Hall of Famer has settled in, Fred Bonner, this afternoon as well.
Hey, how are you?
And Abby is here. I actually have a story that I have specifically held back from Fred. I'm actually surprised that you didn't ask me because did you hear my promo? Weren't you the one that chipped it over?
I did hear it.
Okay, so you know, we do this little thing 15 minutes before the show starts during any show where I come on and I say, and it's recorded, I don't pop in live, hey, coming up here in 15 minutes. And this is going to be a good one for you, Sue, because I've been thinking about this and I thought, you know what, Sue's going to scold me over some of this stuff. But we will see.
All right.
We will test it out. I have discovered that I'm in a dust up with a television personality in St. Louis.
Do I know this person?
I don't know, but we're going to find out. It is my own doing, of course, but I'm just going to tell you exactly how it happened. Okay.
All right.
All right.
We got to know both sides.
Right. Exactly. So yesterday, I'm paging through the X, formerly Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is what I do. And
Minding your own business. Well, maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. But there was a tweet. Now, I don't follow. This is Michelle Lee, who is on Channel 5, mm-hmm. right? And I don't follow her, but apparently I think I do follow KSDK News, right? Mm-hmm. So you know how they retweet and stuff like that? We do that here. So Michelle Lee tweets out, and it's Anthony Slaughter who's the weatherman, and I'm going to apologize for something right off the bat here because I don't know, and maybe this is something I should have known, but I don't watch as much local TV, and Michelle Lee, I think, is an anchor and a reporter. I don't think she's a weather person.
She's on in the morning, I believe, on Channel 5.
Yeah, right. But I thought, what she said is just a heads up. This is her tweet, and this is what got my attention, and this is why I got myself into trouble. It says, just a heads up. For today, 4:16, we're in a weather alert because we're expecting strong storms right about the time you need to pick up the kiddos from school and then again at bedtime. By the way, that did not happen. I should point out that there was
okay, this
no
does not sound controversial
like
in any way.
It's not at all, but here's what caught my attention, Sue. At the very top, Michelle Lee, on her handle, it says, you know, at Michelle Lee TV. Right next to her name, it says, parentheses, she, her.
Mm.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
yeah, your pronoun police.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So here again, I want to go back to what I was doing. I'm paging through the X, formerly Twitter, right? Elon, I got to say it that way. And I see that from Michelle Lee, and I see the pronouns. And here's what I wrote: simply this. I said, "You lost me at she/her," with the little head slap emoji. I like that one. That's a good one.
Now you did not have to do that. What made you do that?
Well, that's what some people have asked me.
Yes.
This is why I knew Sue was going to scold me here this afternoon.
Just leave it. You know, you just leave it. But
okay.
No,
but
you
I
don't
didn't.
Leave it.
And I want to explain myself.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
Because people don't have to think this is important, and that's fine. But mm-hmm. to me, I'm going to explain some things here this afternoon. So anyway, when that happened, all I said was, you lost me at she/her. And people are chiming in. And I think I responded to one. I think I responded to one person's tweet, and maybe I pressed like on a couple because people were chiming in. I do remember that there was one tweet yesterday that was really anti-Semitic, and I blocked that person. I don't know if it was in response to this tweet. This is important because here's what the I'm going to bed last night. I'm watching the Cardinals game, and Michelle Lee, and by the way, I'm sure she's a nice person, right? I don't know her. None of this is
she's
about...
She's very nice.
Right. None of this is about personality. Let's get it on the record here. I am not very nice, okay? I'm very self-aware. Let's just establish that. I'm willing to, you know, meet you in the middle here on the personality thing. But so she tweets out, not sure why I became the target today, but I wish him the best. I don't understand how using an identifier... I'll circle back to that in a second, is worthy of the vitriol that I'm receiving, especially because my post was about the weather. As a woman, mom, I want to exercise kindness. Bless all your hearts. And clearly, I have an issue with kindness, and that's something that I've been challenged with my entire life. But, you know, I wasn't really ready to let this go because, to me, this is what I said. I said, you know, all I said was, you lost me at she, her. There was no vitriol in my response. And by the way, I didn't see any vitriol in the people that responded to me. I'll tell you where I've seen vitriol in the responses to me today. But that happens. I'm used to it. I don't really care anymore. So I said, all I said was, you lost me at she, her. I stand by that. I suppose I'd turn it around and I'd say, now this is where I screwed up, right? I said, why does a weather person feel the need to virtue signal with identifiers right off the top? She's an anchor and reporter. I'm sorry I accused her of being a weather person. It's embarrassing and an automatic disqualifier on credibility. And I stand by that because, and this is what I asked her as a follow-up too. Okay, when Michelle Lee is on television doing her news and reporting, do they put that right up there on the graphic on Channel 5? Do they say Frank Cusimano, he, him? By the way, Michelle has a very confusing name. I would have not known that she was a she, her with the name Michelle. So I'm glad that she came out of the gate with that. But in my world, and you don't have to agree with my world, you really don't, and many of you probably don't, there are several things that are automatic disqualifiers. Okay, let me run them down. There's three in my mind. One, pronouns, because they're ridiculous, unnecessary. And some people have asked me, why do you care? Because I'd like to highlight lunacy. And that's part of what I do on Twitter. And I do it here on the show. I think it's lunacy. Okay. I don't care. Why should I even care out of the gate? This is not in her bio, by the way. Okay. People put things in their bio. In her bio, she says very Asian. Now, the reason she says very Asian, there's a history to that that I had to be reminded of, is that there was somebody who made a horrific call to her and very racist and bigoted. And it was a voicemail. I think Holloman might have wrote about it in the Post-Dispatch. So there's things in your bio that you put, but this is right. I can see Sue's looking at me and she's going to yell at me here. So let me go over the two disqualifiers that I haven't gone over. The next one is putting up a BLM sign in your front yard if you're a guilty white person, especially if you live in Kirkwood and Webster Groves. Sorry, I always have to target you because that's where I see it the most. The third is wearing a mask outside. Okay, pretty much wearing a mask if you're under the age of 65. But if you're dumb enough to wear a mask outside, I've got no time for you. So my position is, I don't care what your stupid pronouns are. I don't want to see them. And if I do see them, I'm not going to watch you. I'm not going to give you any credibility. I'm just not, because I think it's lunacy. So you can scold me, Sue, and I would expect it. And there's going to be people that disagree with me. And I'm sorry that this seemed like a personal attack on Michelle, which I didn't mean. And I'm being honest where all I did, and Fred's worked with me now for 17 years. He knows that I do this and I do stupid things and I react all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all I was doing was scrolling and I said, you lost me at, you know, she, her. But I thought about it and I didn't want to just apologize because I think it's just utterly ridiculous. And I would like an answer to that question. Why don't you put it up on the screen? Why don't the anchors just put it up there? If it's so confusing and you have to let your audience know that you're a she, her when your name is Michelle, it simply is virtue signaling. All right. Now, I've been told that I'm old. I can't relate to younger people. If this is what it takes to relate to younger people, I don't want to do that. I don't want to relate to younger people. And I've said this before, and maybe I'm going to be confronted with this in the future. If Odyssey St. Louis or somebody else starts to try to make me put my pronouns in an email, I'm done. I'm not going to do it.
I don't think they would. Good grief.
Sue, what are you talking about?
That is a hideous thought.
But I'm telling you, this is what is happening in the world.
And I understand. Yes, I understand that. And I understand what you're saying. And I even understand your list of the three. I just think the key there is there's not a necessity to engage.
But see, there is a necessity to engage
on that particular thing.
But
now,
why?
Because she's
another media member here in St. Louis? Because I don't think you would have the same reaction if it was somebody else,
Right? You don't?
No. Like, if I picked on somebody that wasn't in the media, that wasn't super nice to people, you think that that would even be an issue? It wouldn't be an issue.
Well, no, I think in this context, the context is somebody puts out a tweet, and that's part of the title of it. I think you could just keep scrolling by and in your head think, yep, this is what I consider to be virtue signaling, and I just move on.
Right. And I think people have asked me that question. Here's the difficulty with that. This is what I do. Okay, I have an audience on Twitter, I have an audience on the radio, I have an audience on YouTube, I have an audience on Facebook. I express opinions. You don't have to like them. You don't have to listen, by the way. And, you know, I see things and I react to them. So I have no regrets whatsoever about reacting. And I double down on my resistance to these silly pronouns. And I will use Fran as an example, who used to work for the MS Society, the National MS Society. Because she was confused about pronouns and she was being forced to use them by her superiors. And then her superiors at the National MS Society, of which I will never give another dime, and I've raised thousands, tens of thousands of dollars for them over the course of my career, doubled down and they tried to make Fran and people who supported her feel bigoted, et cetera. Well, they finally, after getting all this attention on social media, they finally backed down. So I do have an animus toward pronouns. I especially have an animus towards someone who wants to shove them in my face. And if they're so important, then you put them up. You better put them up on the damn TV screen. Because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you do that, Sue? Why would you just put it on Twitter if it's so important to let people know what you are, right?
I understand
what
you mean.
It's an identifier. It's an identifier. You have to have an identifier. It's just nonsense. So sorry. I apologize to Michelle for two things. For if it became personal, I don't like that. I'm uncomfortable for that. And I probably made some mistakes. Okay, so I apologize. And then I accused her of being a weather person. Real. Oh, my God. Because that was a mistake. That's all I got, Sue.
All right. Well, that's all right. But that's all you've got.
Fred, you've been very quiet.
Fred is trying to duck.
I know he is. I know he is.
Let's just say you were scrolling through and it was a sports star. Mm-hmm. That identify themselves as he,
yes.
Him.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or a city PR person.
You know what? I would do it to anybody. I would do it to anybody. I'd do it to a freaking family member, by the way.
Oh,
I
yeah.
see one of
That's
my
true.
Woke nieces and nephews do that. I'm like, what are you doing?
So
yeah,
not
I'm not
going to
hold. I'm not going to hold my. No,
it
was
not.
It was just simply a reaction. Was it a knee-jerk reaction? Yes, it was. Mm. And it was a well-groomed knee-jerk reaction because of all the other stories. I guess I'd like to know, and maybe I'm sure I'll hear from people on Twitter. Why is it so important to do that? Why do you feel compelled as a news anchor to put she, her in the masthead of your deal?
That's a good question.
I'd like to know that answer. I really don't, right? But it's an identifier, so let's call it an identifier, right? We're coming back. Charles Lipson, Professor Emeritus from the University of Chicago, coming up next. Sue's going to yell at me more. So is Fred. Hang in there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
One of the things that is kind of fun in the Twitter string with the KSDK reporter, who I accused of being a weather person, I apologize for that, is the reaction. And the reaction from the folks that are ripping into me is particularly entertaining. And I really kind of enjoy seeing some of those responses because they're relatively idiotic. But look, here's the other question. And I'm going to wind this into a conversation about Yuri Berliner in NPR. And my friend Charles Lipson is joining us, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the University of Chicago. Charles, let me welcome you in. How are you?
I'm doing great. I want to associate myself with all the people who are ripping you.
I don't blame you. Well, I just did this thing. There's a Channel 5 reporter here that uses pronouns in her masthead at Twitter. And yesterday I reacted to that, and now I'm in a heap of trouble. But here's a point I did not make.
Hey, I got a question for you. Yeah. Can you guess mine?
Your pronouns?
Yeah, can you guess them?
They, them.
You got it.
Yeah,
hey,
there you go.
Hey, that's it. I used to go with the he, him, but I felt it was just too rigid.
It's too obvious, too. But no, this is a valid point that I want to make and get in here, and I think this is going to segue, Charles, quite nicely into Yuri Berliner and the thing that happened today. Look, if I'm supposed to, this is a news reporter anchor that's using woke pronouns in the masthead of Twitter, I'm supposed to put some trust into them as a media member, thinking that they're going to be fair? I'm sorry, I'm not, you know, especially when you're being that blatant about it. But let's talk about Yuri here. And this is Matt Taibbi a short time ago. Look, he comes out against NPR. He writes this stuff that, Charles, you and I have known for years. They chew on it in the legacy media. NPR suspends him, and then today he resigned. And this is Matt Taibbi reacting to all this.
This would be a pretty serious ethical problem at a private news network if you were making an elective decision to not cover a major newsworthy event in the middle of a presidential election. Yeah. But for a public broadcasting network, for National Public Radio to sit there and take taxpayer money and then make this decision is really extraordinary. And I think it sets them apart even from the other organizations we saw in the Twitter files that actively decided not to cover that story.
Yeah, and I think he's right about that. And here's Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. Senator Johnson says defund them.
Doesn't shock me. It just shows you how grotesquely partisan NPR has become. And I would really question, you know, why is the federal government funding such a partisan institution? We shouldn't.
And Charles says, you know, Yuri Berliner said that he does not think that NPR should be defunded. Oh, au contraire. That's the only solution, is to defund NPR.
Mr. Berliner, tear down this wall.
Yes.
So I'll have an article coming out on this in Real Clear Politics tomorrow. Anybody who's interested can just go to charleslipson.com. It'll be there for free, and you can sign up if you're interested. I'll be happy to just send you all my pieces. But it seems to me that there are two issues, not one, here. And and I think Matt Taibbi nailed them. One is political bias. But let's assume a counterfactual, which is that NPR was not biased, which is not true. It's still a bad idea to have government-sponsored.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yes.
I do agree with that. Absolutely.
So why should we be having that at all? Now, there was a reason for having educational TV in the 1950s and 60s. That ended in 1970. And there was never educational radio. But now there's so many channels. If the government, which is spending $500 million a year on PBS and NPR, if they wanted to sponsor educational content, think of how much you could buy for $500 million.
A lot.
And just,
by the way, especially with rates these days, because as you know, the old media is not doing as well as the new media, but you can spread that money around and do a lot.
Absolutely. And they also, the new president of the organization lied about the how much funding they get. She said, we get less than 1% of our funding from the federal government.
They say that all the time. They do.
Let me explain to the audience, because I decided I would look into it, because, I mean, you know, you could tell they were lying because their lips were moving. But the fact is, the way it works is that the U.S. Treasury sends money to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You probably see that sometimes on TV.
Absolutely.
And so forth.
Right.
Okay. Now, that's a private company that was set up, a nonprofit that was set up 50 years ago. They then give the money to local stations, local public TV stations and the local public radio station. Then the local public radio station buys the content from NPR. So when you hear Morning Edition or any of these things, fresh air. They bought that. So that's money that then goes back to NPR. And a lot of it came from the government to begin with. So they were playing three-card Monty.
Oh, yeah, that's what it sounds like.
With the very people. Now, remember, you and I, we're taxpayers. So when they're lying to the people who are paying for them.
So you talked about, do you know if her name is Catherine Maher or Catherine Maher? It's M-A-H-E-R. She's the CEO, right?
Oh, we're going to know how to pronounce that real well in the next few days.
I think we are. So, look, Chris Rufo, who has really done a great job out there on Twitter with CRT and brought down Claudine Gay, et cetera. So he's pulling up some social media posts. Now, look, I will say this, but I want to put this in context because I'm not the biggest fan, and this is why I want to point this out. I'm not the biggest fan of going back into even a kid that's in college. He's playing college basketball, football. You go back when he was 16 years old. He says something stupid on Twitter, whatever. Right. But in this particular case, these are people at NPR who go back to Brett Kavanaugh when he was in high school and all this other crap, right? So she has a tweet from 2020. This isn't from 2010. This isn't from 2000. She calls Trump a deranged racist. She's got another post where she's wearing a Biden hat. She's got another one where she's daydreaming about hanging out with Kamala Harris. So this is the person involved in running this organization that is funded largely by the taxpayers. That's outrageous. And yeah, we're going to lose her name because she needs to go.
Well, she needs to go. But this is a systemic problem. And what Berliner said was that it's always been liberal. The New York Times was always liberal. But it's gotten much, much more partisan, ideological, pronouns, the whole nine yards. And I think that's what the problem really is. It goes beyond. First of all, she was an adult, it's like they always sort of depict Hunter Biden as somehow a child. He's not a child.
No.
He's an adult, not a very mature one, I'll grant you, but he's an adult. And the fact is, I just find this is just part of the general collapse of media. Now, you're an opinion talk show. That's fine. And you're not being paid for by the public. You're being paid for by advertisers. That's fine. It's when they start using taxpayer money. That's not fine.
Look, there's no legitimate reason for NPR, PBS to get taxpayer dollars moving forward. They can compete with the rest of us, right?
I agree, and I actually don't think we should give them the bandwidth for free. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't have to pay for it in the same way that commercial stations have to pay for it or bid on it or whatever you might call it. But in any event, I think that's kind of a minor issue at this point.
Let me, Charles, just throw another piece of audio in here for Catherine Maher, because she's on the record. This is before she was with, NPR, but she's talking about, she was at Wikipedia, actually, talking about disinformation.
We took a very active approach to disinformation and misinformation coming into not just the last election, but also looking at how we supported our editing community in an unprecedented moment where we were not only dealing with the global pandemic, we were dealing with a novel virus, which by definition means we knew nothing about it in real time, and we're trying to figure it out as the pandemic went along.
So she basically admits, by the way, that they suppressed content related to the pandemic and the 2020 election. Now, she wasn't at NPR, but Rufo is calling her NPR's new censor-in-chief. That's the person that's running the organization that was just outed by a guy that pretty much said everything that she was doing at Wikipedia, from a couple years ago, and you put her in as CEO. Good Lord.
It's outrageous, and they're going to pay a price for it, just as the Ivy League presidents are paying a price. They thought nobody was looking, but now that we are, it's a problem for them, and it should be a problem for them. They've behaved atrociously, and they should pay a price for it.
Well, Do you think it's real? We've talked about defunding NPR for a long time. Is it, you can't do it with Biden in the White House, so some of this would be depending on what the election holds. But I think that there should be a more serious conversation about this moving forward.
Yes, I think that the conversation should not focus as much on bias as on public, on whether there should be public funding for any broadcasts that involve news or news interviews. You and I are doing a news interview. It's not hard news. That's what comes at the bottom, at the top of the hour and so forth. By the way, that's also collapsed. I mean, we used to trust AP. We don't anymore.
No. No, and they don't deserve to be trusted based on... Here, let me offer an example. This happened from Chicago.
Right.
And I was a little off on this because I thought that this was a case that was going to get more of the legacy attention. But I think what happened is once they started to try to gaslight, they realized that the facts didn't match up with what they were saying. So you heard about the kid that was lit up 96 shots because he shot at the cops first. Right. But
right.
The story, if you go back, I had a collection of this. I'd have to look at my my iPad of all these headlines from the AP, Charles, USA Today, The Washington Post. And you would have thought that this kid was just, you know, the valedictorian of his high school, clean kid. No, he had a record. He had something related to a gun charge that had happened just a few weeks ago. And Dexter Reed does not comply with police. He comes out of the car. He fires and hits an African-American police officer. And people try to gaslight on that. You know, here's the New York Times headline from last week. Fatal shooting by Chicago police is being investigated. My headline is gangbanger with a gun who was already charged with a crime is lit up by the cops because he shot at them. It's not that complicated.
You are exactly right. But they're just shameless about it, and they need to be called out. And the problem is, I have lunch with all kinds of people and had lunch with a number of people who are very much on the left today and pretty knowledgeable in all of them with graduate degrees and law degrees and all the rest. And one of them started out by saying, MSNBC is just a straight-up network. It's not biased at all. And she was not trying to convince people. She was giving people her legitimate opinion of what it is. So what happens is that they're fed this steady diet of this stuff. And, you know,
that's why I sent that piece by Yuri Berliner to several liberal friends. And by the way, I'm not convinced they read it and they should have read it. But listen, you just said something that's shocking to me, considering I have this from MSNBC from this morning in Joe Scarborough.
What's wrong with you? Who raised you? Mm. What history did you read?
That's it.
Like, where are you from? Because you may claim to be from where I'm from, but you were not raised by the same teachers I was raised by, and you don't read.
He's talking about anyone who voted for Donald Trump. If you're a Trump supporter, that's what Joe Scarborough. So that's the fairness that person who watches MSNBC sees on a daily basis. And Charles, you know this better than anyone. There are so many stories that I hope I have an opportunity sometime with people to say, look, you know that story that you were told on MSNBC? Let me tell you what really happened. But even when I do that, they don't listen. They don't want to hear the truth.
I completely agree, and I would just say this, and I actually I believe in free speech because I believe that we talk about free speech, but free speech also involves free listening. When these people on college campuses shout down people and so forth, the so-called heckler's veto, it's not just the speaker who loses; it's people who want to listen who lose. But I would just say that there's one additional problem, and it's worth really thinking about. And that is, I think there's just a shining contempt that flows through. You could see that in Joe Scarborough. You could hear it in this
Absolutely.
Katie Couric thing.
Absolutely.
They have real contempt for anybody who drives a pickup truck, for anybody who works with his or her hands.
Has a gun.
Anyone who has a gun, unless, of course, it's pointed at them, and is by a non-minority. But, I mean, it's just ludicrous, and people are beginning to pick up on it. But I've got to tell you, that the kind of judges that are being appointed by the Biden administration seem to go all in on this stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's a bunch of nonsense. Charles Lipson, always great to have you on. I look forward to the column. It's going to be on charleslipson.com and on Real Clear tomorrow. We'll have you back. You have a great week. Thank you, Charles.
I really enjoyed it, Mark. You too.
Hey, we've got Aerosmith tickets to give away in the next hour here on 97.1 FM Talk Enterprise Center, October 14th. We will be giving away tickets all this week, and the tickets went on sale last Friday, so you can buy them at Ticketmaster as well. Sue, I have something amazingly glorious here.
Ooh.
This is, I don't know, this is going to be a strong contender for Audio Cut of the Day, but we do have, you know, things that are constantly moving on this show. And we may come up with something else. But this is the audio of a pro-Hamas protester the other day on the Golden Gate Bridge. You remember what you were reporting when you talked about this, that they were, you know, locking them? They were using some sort of PVC piping, right?
Yeah.
So this guy puts his arm through the PVC, and he tries to cement it to the bridge or maybe even to cars. And they had to literally cut him out.
What?
Emergency workers. But here's the best part of the story. He was in so much pain.
Aw.
I listen to him whine like a baby here.
Ow, 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 ow.
Good.
I got it. Ow.
I got you. I got you.
Good. No, don't get it.
By the numbers. All right, let go of your fingers. Let go. Let go.
I mean, that's the best sound
I mean,
that
on.
I'll hear all the. What an idiot. I have no empathy for you because you're a complete idiot.
Yes.
Everything that you did that day didn't make any impact. You have freedom of speech. You don't have the freedom to stop traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge or at the airport at O'Hare. And I'd like to see, and this is where you need leadership from these mayors, and you're certainly not going to get this in San Francisco or Chicago or St. Louis. But there needs to be an edict to the chiefs of police to say, look, this is not legal. It should not be allowed. If they're stopping traffic, we're going to round them up. We're going to arrest them. Now, that's why they try to dip themselves into cement. But, you know, maybe this is too harsh. Can we just amputate the arm?
Yeah,
can we bring a chainsaw out there to these protests?
That's a no. But
well,
yes,
I get
your point.
I would be willing to support that. This is interesting to me. I want to play something back-to-back about the election because many people know that was still the Golden Gate Bridge guy. Many people know that, you know, certainly in 2016, I was no fan of Donald Trump. I would say in 2020, I was no fan of Donald Trump, although I did vote for him in 2020, and that's kind of where I am right now. I don't like the behavior. I don't like the nonsense. I've criticized it over the course of time. Fred heard this soundbite today from former Attorney General Bill Barr. Bill Barr has been very critical of Donald Trump, and I think that his criticisms have been on point in many ways. But he's supporting him right now in this election, and I think I can relate to it. But let me play Michael Moore first, because Michael Moore was the guy. I played this audio a lot in 2016. He called 2016 like nobody else did, except for John Lamping. John Lamping got it right, too. And there were a couple others. Chris Smith, if he's listening. Chris got me. You know, that's how I got into that wager that I never paid off on. But Michael Moore saw something happening with working class people, and he sees it again.
You're going to lose this election in part because too many people are going to stay home. They're not going to vote for Trump. They're not going to switch their vote from you to Trump. No, that is not how this is going to play out. As what happened to Hillary in Michigan, she lost by 2 votes per precinct. 2 for the whole state. 2. And that's what's going to happen to you.
Look, he's right about that.
Who's he speaking to?
He was on a podcast, and he's talking to Democrats. That's his audience is Democrats. You're going to lose this election, and here's why. And he's right. I use Wisconsin as an example. He uses Michigan. 250,000 fewer voters for Hillary Clinton, 250,000 fewer voters than Obama got in 2012. All right? That's a significant number. Those did not go to Trump. Trump only had, you know, he loves to rip Mitt Romney. I could look at the final total. At one point, it was only about 8,000 more votes than Mitt Romney. So he didn't blow Hillary away, but a lot of people stayed home. And I think that Michael Moore has nailed this because you got a lot of, you know, apoplectic people that are confused. They're tired of it. They're exhausted by the election. There's people listening right now that want to vote for a Republican candidate, but maybe they don't like Trump. But Bill Barr put it this way.
Well, I've said all along, you know, given 2 bad choices, I think it's my duty to pick the person I think would do the least harm to the country. And in my mind, that's I will vote the Republican ticket.
You will.
I will support the Republican ticket. I think the real danger to the country, the real danger to democracy, as I say, is the progressive agenda. And while Trump, and I said, Trump may be playing Russian roulette, but continuation of the Biden administration is national suicide, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's absolutely right about that. Look, this is such an easy choice. And the reason that I was worried about Trump being the nominee, and this goes back, you know, a year and a half, whatever you want to talk about what happened after the midterm elections and in the aftermath, the immediate aftermath of those elections in 2022, which, let's be honest, there was no red wave. There was a red trickle. There was a lot of people out there, including a lot of listeners to this show, because we took calls that said, you know what, I'm ready to move on here. Let's find someone like Ron DeSantis who can do the same thing that Trump can and not have the baggage. Well, Ron DeSantis failed on the national stage. So I think a lot of people, including me, have come back to say, because it was always, and this is what it's about for me, and you can believe it or not, to me, it's about the future of the country. It's literally about the future of the country. And we are going down some paths here that I'm so uncomfortable with. And I addressed some of them at the beginning of the show with the woke pronoun nonsense. But we have got to put a stop to some of this stuff. We've got to control the border. And if Trump is the choice, there's no other choice.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.